Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hello and welcome to the Truth from the Stand Deer Hunting Podcast. I'm your host, Clint Campbell, and you're listening to episode number 70, brought to you by Wicked Tree Gear. Today we're rolling into part 3 of the Tips for Purchasing a Hunting Property DIY Report mini-series with Ben Harshein of Whitetail Properties. And today we're discussing how to make your property work for you and making it awesome. So stay tuned. All right, what is up, everyone? Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome back to the work week, at least welcome back to the work week. For me, I was on a little family vacation over the 4th of July. I hope everyone had a chance to get away, have a beverage, spend some time with some family, most importantly, not go to work, and maybe even more importantly, came back from wherever you were with all of your fingers. So if you did those things, and congratulations to you, you had a successful holiday weekend. Like I said, I got to get away a little bit, went to Cape Cod, spent some time out on the water, did some whale watching, some fishing, just typical family vacation, some relaxing time, time to kind of forget just for a moment about deer season, but not, it was never too far away. I did happen to read some strategy, deer hunting strategy books, or at least one by John Eberhardt. I've been wanting to read his book, Precision Bow Hunting, and really just haven't had the time. And so usually over vacations when I get an opportunity to kind of do a little bit of reading, and did absolutely take advantage of that. Today we have a cool show. We're doing part 3 of the tips for buying a hunting property with Ben Harshein from Whitetail Properties. Part 3 of the first, I guess, let me back up for a second and say the first two properties we covered, you know, really everything from getting started to selecting your agent to saving your ducats, getting all your money kind of in line to begin to really kind of approach making this type of purchase in a realistic sense. The second part we covered, you know, evaluating a property. So once you kind of have all those finer details ironed out and you know that you financially where you need to be and what you can spend and, you know, what type of property you might be able to get into. The next step then, in part 2, we looked at kind of evaluating the property and taking a look at, you know, from everything from, you know, the soil scores in terms of what that means in relation to the price of ground, everything from standing timber, you know, whether it's how much timber's on the property, is it tillable versus, you know, versus timber. Then also, you know, access, not just stand access for hunting, but also, you know, property access itself, you know, easements and making sure you have all your financial or all your legal things in you know, lined up to make sure that you have access to that property, that there is legal access to the property. And today we're covering the third and final part of this DIY mini series. And this one is really all about, you know, looking at a property from an investment perspective. And if that's something you're interested in, making sure that that property has the things it needs to have in order to work for you. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you get into the right situation, that property can in part, you know, pay for itself as you enjoy hunting it, riding ATVs, having picnics, building a cabin, whatever it is that you want to do on it. You know, there's opportunities out there to get into property where they can, it can actually put some money in your pocket. And then the other part that we talk about is really just kind of getting ready to make the offer. So really kind of pulling the ripcord on that bad boy and, you know, going to, you know, going full throttle and making, potentially making a purchase and putting an offer down on a property and hopefully, you know, getting that property. So that's what we're covering with Ben today. I've found, you know, all three of the sessions with Ben super, super helpful, you know, really informative. You know, I of course went through last year and purchasing a home, you know, which is a little bit different, some similar steps, but a little bit different in terms of, you know, buying a house versus buying land. So it was really cool for me to kind of hear Ben kind of talk through all the different kind of scenarios and how to make that plan to try to get there. Cause it's definitely one of those things that I would like to do at some point, sooner rather than later, is get my own piece of hunting property. I don't know that I'm super close to doing it right now, but you have to start somewhere. And that's kind of my plan now is to start to plan out, you know, 5-ish plus years in advance and start to, you know, hopefully think about making that a reality and taking the steps to do so. So looking forward to having Ben on for this final part of this DIY mini series. But before we do that, I want to take a quick second here and kind of announce the winner of our most recent Trophy Ridge H4 React site giveaway. If you remember, I did a giveaway, I believe it was two weeks ago, roughly, that kind of coincided with the second year anniversary of the Truth from the Stand podcast as a thank you to all of you for continuing to tune in and letting us talk some deer hunting with you guys. So without further ado, the winner of this giveaway for the Trophy Ridge H4 React site, I'm going to do a little drum roll for you. Low budget, doing it on the table, is Greg Drysdale. I will tag you in the Instagram post related to this podcast to give you a heads up that you've won. And then I'll also reach out to you through a direct message and try to get a hold of you, get your mailing information and get this bad boy shipped out to you so you can get it on your bow, sighted in and ready for the upcoming deer season, which is fast approaching and I have a lot of work to do yet. So we'll be getting that started here this weekend. But without further ado, we'll go ahead and get ready to get Ben on the line. But before we do that, I want to take a quick second to talk about our partners that continue to help us make this podcast possible. First and foremost, we are brought to you by Wicked Tree Gear, the longest, lastest, fastest cutting, toughest tree trimming equipment you have ever used. Simply put, the toughest saws on earth. How tough are they? Tough enough to come with a lifetime warranty. And right now, when you visit wickedtreegear.com, use the promo code TRUTH at checkout and get a 20% discount on your Wicked purchase. They are still running the hunt giveaway with Whitetail Heaven Outfitters, where you can, if you win, you get to select what state that you can, that you would like to take your hunt in. So I believe it's Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana where they have farms. And the way you get entered into the drawing for this or into the sweepstakes to win this hunt is you just make a purchase from Wicked Tree Gear, Tecumseh Seed, or Glacier Coolers. You make any purchase from any of those three companies, you'll be entered into the sweepstakes. Every purchase you make enters you yet again. So if you make two separate purchases, you have two entries into the sweepstakes. So the more things you purchase, of course, the more options or opportunities you have to win that sweepstakes. We're also brought to you by Exodus Outdoor Gear. The new Trek is the byproduct of all consumer voices who have been excited about what Exodus trail cameras have to offer, but just can't fit a $200 camera in their budget, and that's okay. A budget-friendly camera backed by the industry's leading warranty is now here. The Trek comes in at $145, has the same proprietary shell design as the Lift Series camera, same 5-year warranty, unmatched customer service, 0.7-second trigger speed, photo, video, time-lapse, and hybrid modes, all with a simple single-line backlit LED display. You also get about 20,000 images on one set of lithium batteries. If you'd like to learn more about Exodus trail cameras, check them out at ExodusOutdoorGear.com. I actually have to go pull my cameras here next weekend, I think, and do the first official velvet card pull. If you'd like to see, if you'd like to learn more about Exodus, or if you'd like to save yourself a couple dollars and purchasing an Exodus camera, you can do so by using the promo code TRUTH and save yourself $20 at checkout. We're also brought to you by Tecumseh seed. Everything is bigger in Texas right now. Is a great time to start prepping for your fall plots, which is what I'll be doing. No matter if you're in the South, Midwest, or the Northeast, Tecumseh Seed has your food plot needs covered. Visit Tecumseh.com and check out their product selector tool to help pick the right seed for your food plots. Use promo code TRUTH at checkout and save 20%. Last but not least, we are also brought to you by Glacier Coolers, simply the world's finest. Whether you're hunting, camping, or fishing, you'll enjoy smarter design, stronger construction, and superior insulation of Glacier Coolers. Visit them at glaciercoolers.com. Use the promo code TRUTH at checkout and save yourself 20%. And now let's get Ben on the line. All right, welcome back to another episode of the Truth from the Stand Deer Hunting Podcast. You're listening to installment number 3 of this DIY report session where we're talking hunting property, finding hunting property with my buddy Ben Harshine of Whitetail Properties. And this section we're let me cover the first two sections. The first section we talked about, how do you kind of set your ducks in a row to kind of think about you want to take the plunge into buying property. The second section we covered, you've now got your ducks in a row and I need to start looking at properties and evaluating properties. What are some of the things I should be looking at and considering when looking at these properties with my land specialist? Section number 3 here is really all about trying to seal the deal and understanding the different steps that you need to take, how to make an offer, if you're looking at this thing from an investment opportunity perspective. And that's what we're going to cover in this section. Hopefully everyone will feel good about, being able to go out and start maybe taking some steps to look for their dream property. But before we get things cracking, how are you doing, Ben? What's happening, my man?
Oh, I'm really enjoying this. And I think it's just such a good idea, like you said, because there's so much involved in buying a piece of ground and being confident in who you're working with and all the different small facets to be happy with your transaction. There's a lot of info here and you splitting it up into 3 different sections, I think is super valuable. So, I'm excited to kind of, wrap this up with Section 3.
Wrap this up with a nice tidy little bow, man. So I think we won't belabor the upfront here. We'll just kind of dive right into it. So like I had said, man, you've walked us through, getting everything set up, getting your budget in line, finding the right agent. We've talked about, the access to property, finding a property, evaluating it, even looking at what the wind is going to do if you really want to hunt it as an important piece, access, making sure you have a legal easement to your property. So we've now kind of found a place, and this is, we found our dream property. And it's time to start really thinking about laying out that cash. And that's the scary part, right? That's where we all get like that immediate, buyer's remorse a little bit, before we even start to buy. You get those cold feet a little bit. So I want to talk a little bit about making an offer, because I think some of that trepidation of making the offer comes from just not understanding the process of making an offer, right? Because we're always kind of nervous of the unknown. So if you could just kind of walk us through, what happens in that moment when I say, Ben, I'm down with this property. I want to do it. What are the next things I need to do to put an offer in on this property? I don't want to lose it.
Yeah, so it's actually pretty easy. We're gonna sit down either in the office or in the truck right after the showing, depending on how serious you are about it. I've done both. We're gonna literally pull out the contracts that are necessary. In each state is going to be a little bit different, but an offer to purchase, specifically one we use is for actual land. So it's a contract that's really speaks to purchasing land as opposed to a house with land or just a house. So I'm going to help you fill out that offer. We're going to determine, okay, well, here's what I think this place is worth. Here's what you're comfortable putting an offer in on. And my clients are they're driving the, it's their call what they want to do. I'm just facilitating it. But let's just say that you're buying a place that's $150,000, and you're with what you've seen and where we think land prices are, we're going to offer a 130, and we're going to put that in there. We're going to also write an earnest check. Okay, and if we really did our homework, we're going to be able to attach a pre-qualification letter as well. So when I present that offer to the selling agent, that's going to be an offer that shows, hey, my clients are serious. This is what we're offering. Here's an earnest money check to show that, you know, this is a, you know, we're going to bring some strength with that offer, and that this is the actual cash we're right now that can be used towards closing. And we've got a pre-qualification letter from our bank saying, hey, we are comfortable lending so-and-so this much money. This is what they're qualified to borrow from this line of credit. So we're going to draw that up in the contract. A lot of times what we use, because of, you know, modern conveniences of the internet and being able to have a mobile office, we use DocuSign a lot. So DocuSign, for anybody that doesn't know, is just a way to electronically sign documents. And you can initial, you can sign. I'll set that all up for you, and you'll basically just go in and you'll get a little notification in your email. You'll click on it, and this slick tool will just go through and say, click here, agree here, check this, sign here, initial here, and it'll come in nice and clean as a signed document. So that's the actual logistics of it. One thing I want to note is maybe there's some contingencies. So an example of a contingency would be that all old farm equipment or all junk that's in this specific pasture here needs to be removed prior to closing. That's a contingency. So it's contingent upon them doing this. The most common contingency is a home inspection. Okay, so home inspection is a contingency that says, we're going to hire an inspector. They're going to tell us what is wrong. They're going to pick out all the specific things that are wrong from a minor to a major standpoint on this home, and we're going to come back to you and try to rectify those issues. That's probably the most popular contingency. Mm-hmm. Another one is contingent upon appraisal. So you don't want to be buying a property that isn't appraised as much as what you're paying for it.
Right.
To put it bluntly, you don't want to be buying a $300,000 property when it's only worth $180,000. And
right.
Again, that's where it's hypercritical. Some of this ground that you know what you're buying, and you're teamed up with somebody that's helping you that through that.
Right.
So contingent upon an appraisal is really important, and the banks won't loan on anything that's typically the banks won't loan on anything that appraises less than what you're paying for. You're going to have to pay for that out of cash. So if you're buying in a really good neighborhood, man, you might have to pony up a little bit more cash, because in the eyes of that appraiser, it may not appraise compared to other ground nearby that is similar. So those contingencies are a big part of that contract that we're putting together. Once we sign and we're happy and like, this is what we're going to offer, I'm going to go to the buyer's, the selling agent, and present that offer to them. And that contract's going to have a certain amount of time that this offer is valid for, whether it's 48 hours or 24 hours or whatever the case may be. This is how long our offer stands. And, we want to hear back from you by then. And the selling agent will go and work with their clients to be able to determine, okay, this is the offer. What would you like to do?
Right.
Let's say they come back from that $130,000 offer and they say, tell you what, we'll accept all your contingencies, but we'd really like $135,000. And I'm going to present that to you guys or to my clients, to my buyers. And we're going to determine if that's going to work in your budget or not. Let's say it does, and you're going to sign and agree on that counter offer, and now we're going to start working our way towards closing.
Okay. Interesting. So I have two questions based on the outline of making an offer. One is, you know, inspections. I'm familiar with home inspections. You know, buying a home and so forth. Are there certain inspections or different types of inspections that take place when you're buying recreational land, farmland, or hunting ground?
You know, not Not specifically. I mean, there's no termite inspections or, I mean, we're buying the bugs. We're buying the,
right.
We're buying the soil. We're buying the trees. We're right. buying Mother Nature here. So, I don't see many inspections, that come into play. I mean, possibly if it's, I would imagine, I may be speaking out of context, but it would be logical to me that if you have an investment firm or somebody that is really into buying timber tracts for investment purposes, you're going to want to do an inspection on that timber to be able to determine if that if the core of those trees if those trees have any sort of bug damage to them or infestation. I think that would be an important part of it, because you could look at a beautiful stand of soft maples on a river bottom and think, man, you're seeing dollar signs,
right?
Or even more so if it's black walnut,
right?
And you go in to timber it and those, they all have rotten cores to them. I mean, that's a big heartbreaker right there. So right. that inspection probably would be common. At least that's logical to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen it yet here in Iowa.
Right. And it sounds like, you know, in the previous, you know, sections that we've done, you talked a little bit about the soil fertility and, you know, that, depending on what that is, you know, will kind of in part determine the price. So it sounds like that's done prior to this part of the transaction.
Yeah. That soil fertility in the CSR2, I think in Illinois that it's called the PI, productivity index, I think it stands for. You need to see those soil maps before you make an offer. I mean, you need to be shown, and we've got tools to be able to go in and actually get that from the state of Iowa. We can get that measurement. I mean, they've mapped all of Iowa. We're able to run a tool that averages and weights that specific tract of ground and the soils, the tillable acres that are on it, and present that to you. And if you're working with somebody that isn't doing that, then you need to find somebody, find a different agent.
Right. All right. So, you know, now we've walked down the path of making an offer, and I might've put the cart before the horse here. You know, we maybe should have touched on this next kind of section or this next bullet point prior to making an offer, but I want to get a sense of, you know, because I think, you know, people get a little scared off by making an investment or spending dollars on something that's not their home or whatever the case might be. But there's a lot of opportunity to make this property work for you and pay for itself, either at the onset of purchase or over the course of time. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, the investment opportunity of land in general, but then also how you can kind of have that land not just, you know, be an investment opportunity in terms of buying a chunk of land being the investment opportunity, but also the opportunity of tillable acreage, harvestable timber and things of that nature, how it can become a moneymaker for you in a sense.
Mm-hmm. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah. First off, we'll look at it two ways. A lot of people's mindset anymore, and there's a lot of buyers out there. I mean, at least in Iowa, I was talking with Rich Flowers in Ohio recently. He's one of our brokers in Ohio. Ben Richardson, he's doing a really good job in Alabama. I tried to get a beat on what there's got. Everybody's seeing the same thing. There's a lot of buyers out there right now. There's more buyers than sellers. Okay, we're in a seller's market. So there's a lot of reasons, but the common theme that keeps coming up is that people just quite frankly are scared and don't trust this volatile stock market.
Mm-hmm.
The stock market is where I would say it's the most popular form of investment. What is an investment? Well, an investment is using money to make more money. Okay, right. You're setting your money aside and not being able to use that for a certain amount of time in the hope of making more down the road. So, in as far as the stock market and its volatility, a lot of people are wanting to put their money into a much more tangible, safe asset. Now, everybody's strategy for investment is different. They've got different financial goals, but one thing you can argue against is that land, it's cliche to say, but they're not making any more.
I know, I love that
saying. And because of that, you've got something that you can actually physically control and hold and make better and improve and increase the value of. You're in control of that. And this podcast is about hunting ground. People want to buy ground that is giving them an opportunity to have a good quality season. You have the ability to go in and really make that happen for the future buyers, and it's an investment. You buy at $2,000 an acre or $2,500 an acre, and we're going to sell that in a couple of years with your sweat equity and with just the way land prices are constantly going and increasing here. We're going to sell that for $3,000 an acre or $3,200 or whatever the case may be in a handful of years. Okay, that's an investment. It's making you money. And there is no investment out there. There's no way to invest in something that you can make memories with friends and family, take your kids out and catch some bass in a farm pond or go out and push yourself and harvest a couple of those really nice bucks that you've been wanting to take, that is why land right now is just such a solid purchase. It will always be desired, and right. And you're in control of it whenever you own it, and that's what's great, and that's the side that a lot of people don't necessarily think of. They just see the price on they just see the price tag and they get cold feet. I totally get that, but there's more to it than just that. That $100,000 could turn into $150,000 or $200,000 in a matter of a decade.
Right.
Or less, in some of these markets right now.
Right. And I was just going to say, the other thing is too, is like, you're also buying just like a little piece of the, not to be cliche, but the little piece of the American dream too. You know what I mean? It's like, that's just, mm-hmm. there's something to be said for that, to have something you could possibly pass down to family members and so forth. The one thing I looked at whenever I started just perusing property to a degree was there harvestable timber from the moment that I purchased the property that I could go in that could enhance my habitat, and also put money back in my pocket toward paying for the property itself. Do you have any instances? I mean, is that something that people do frequently, or is that, less common? Before we continue our conversation, let's talk about Wicked Tree Gear saws. Hardcore deer hunters need hardcore tools. Do yourself a favor and check out Wicked Tree Gear, the toughest hand saws and pull saws on earth. You buy it once, you buy it for life, backed by a lifetime guarantee. Right now, if you use the promo code TRUTH, you'll save 20% on your next purchase with free ground shipping. So head over to wickedtreegear.com and get a saw that's tough enough to work as hard as you hunt.
I guess I'll tell you a story here that might relate or resonate with the audience a little bit more. I grew up hunting a couple hundred acres of timber. I was 12 years old whenever I could legally start hunting in Pennsylvania. I was ripping the woods way before that. And growing up, I experienced some great hunting, and the property that we were on was thick, and there was a lot of good briars, and the deer loved the bed there. And in time, I could tell over time, when I got to, I'm 34 years old now, and I was 31 or 32 years old, I was sitting on one of those ridges with my dad one spring morning listening for some gobblers and just watching the world awake, and I could just see this, literally, I could see like 150, 200 yards of nothing but ferns. And what has happened is that over time, over two decades, that forest has grown. And those hardwoods have matured, and it's choked out the quality ground-level habitat for birds and for deer and really anything else that is trying to call that place home. So, boy, how awesome would it be to go back and buy that property and do a select cut, not a clear cut, but get a forester in there, mm-hmm. and establish a management plan and do a select cut where a certain amount of the mature trees are taken. You're instantly putting money back in your pocket that you can use directly towards the notes or whatnot. And in turn, you're thickening that property up, and you're going to bring wildlife back into it. Sunlight is going to work in your favor, and you're going to get briars and forbs and brush regenerating immediately. And within 2 years, it's going to be a jungle. Mm-hmm. So how awesome would that be to buy a property that maybe not be ideal right now, but with a couple good decisions, you're not only making more money, but you're having a lot better hunting seasons.
Yeah.
That's a great scenario right there. That's a win-win.
Yeah.
That kind of hits on the investment of it. And that it's the financial investment, but it's also an investment into your lifestyle and your happiness and your kids' happiness if you got kids, you know? So,
That's awesome, man. I mean, I think you contextualize it really, really well there to kind of paint a picture for folks of how that can happen. You know what I mean? Where, you know, not only you're increasing your hunting opportunities by doing that, but the land that is like the most direct line through that the land is paying for itself outside of farming it, right? Outside of tillable acreage and cash mm-hmm. rent and stuff like that. It's like, this is a natural resource the land is going to provide to you over and over again over the course of time. So if you do keep it in your family and you pass it on to your son, your daughter, you know, or both, whatever the case might be, it's like that. At some point, if they keep it, they'll be able to harvest it as well. You know what I mean? So that's a nice little kind of bank account to have, so to speak, you know, for your family to a degree, depending on the size of the property. But, you know, speaking of size of property, I think one thing that people get hung up on, and, you know, and I'm probably guilty of this as well, is like, I'll start looking at properties. I'll go online, you know, and start, you know, perusing to see what's out there. And of course, the ones that I really gravitate toward are the ones that are, you know, in Hammer City and big tracts of land that, you know, some management has been done and stuff like that. And the price tag is as such. You know, I think the one thing that folks kind of think about is that the first property that you buy, you know, they want it to be exactly what they want, right? But it's not necessarily how things necessarily have to work. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, that first property that you pick up not needing to necessarily be your dream property and how you can kind of work yourself into that?
That first property is going to need to be, not to put it, hey, no pressure here, but that first property is going to set the stage for your long-term success if that's not going to be your one and only. Many times you're going to enjoy it so much that and you're going to work on it, and you're going to put all your blood, sweat, and tears into it and fill a bunch of tags on it, and you're going to be ready to move on to that bigger track down the road, or you're going to be looking to expand onto it and buy the adjacent property or whatnot. It's key to have somebody on your side that's going to help you buy smart and buy something that is going to be the biggest part of this is it's going to be priced correctly, and it's going to be what the market is bearing. Mm-hmm. You can't let your emotions take too much control that you overpay for something. And overpaying for something is fine if you're going to hold on to it for a long time. But if you're under the understanding that your first property is not your dream property, it's not your last one, then you're going to want to try to start off on the right foot and get something that is going to be able, you're going to be able to put equity right back into it. A really good example would be like, let's talk about some of the things that give you equity. Mm-hmm. Equity is going to make your property more valuable by you doing something. One of the most popular things is to start to acquire trail camera history. As a landowner, if you've got a property that is good for hunting, or you bought it for hunting, you're going to sell it as a hunting track. Let's start to acquire history on this place in the form of trail cameras, anything that you've taken off of there, document with maps, anything that you've done from an improvement standpoint. If you cleaned up the roads, you can get a bigger tractor down that lane, or you put in a new culvert that now you can cross that creek and get a four wheeler across there to make it easier to access that specific part of the farm. You passed some of these younger bucks, and here's two or three years of trail cam photos of these specific whitetails, and here's ones that I did take, and that is all evidence that I can take whenever I'm ready to market your ground and show the world that, man, this is an awesome property here, and this is exactly what you're getting. So you want to put equity into your on your side, trail cam photos, documenting the history of that ground, cleaning up fences, putting new gates on a property. Again, access. We talked about access. You got a locked gate. That's way more valuable and way more appealing to somebody than if you just got a farm drive that is pretty easy for somebody to inconspicuously sneak in on,
Right.
Gates are a great way to put immediate equity back into your ground. Again, if you're buying this property at a little bit of a value, a bit of a discount, mm-hmm. The improvements as far as food plot, being able to establish, and this is a little bit extravagant, but putting up box blinds, and making it a turnkey property. I've seen guys do that where they'll buy an old overgrown nasty overgrown pasture or something, and they'll literally cut hunting infrastructure into it, food plots and trails and make it huntable. So those are things that you can do to put money back into your pocket and work towards that dream property. And another thing to consider is, and this is a really important tool, this has made a lot of big landowners over the years, is the IRS code 1031, which allows you to defer your tax. You're not completely destroying your tax liability, but you're kicking it, as my buddy Garrett Armstrong says, you're kicking it down the road.
Right.
You're buying, you're selling and buying similar properties, okay, in a certain amount of time, and you're deferring that capital gain. So let's say you buy something for $2,000 an acre, and 3 years later, we're going to get this thing on the market. You've tweaked it out. Maybe 3 years is a little bit tight. Let's say 5 years, you've had some great hunting on it. It's now worth $2,700 an acre. Okay, that's your base would be your $2,000 an acre. So you've got $700 an acre that would be a capital gain mm-hmm. that you would you'd be taxed on, and that's a heavy duty tax. The capital gain tax is no joke. It can be 20-30% sometimes. So we're going to identify as a good land specialist, we're going to identify what are called qualified intermediaries, a 1031 specialist that's going to help you navigate that 1031 tax deferred transaction. So you do it right, and you use that as a very, very valuable tool to be able to buy larger properties down the road. The biggest landowners that I know are the guys that started with nothing and now they've got everything. That 1031 tool and having a good qualified intermediary to handle that during the transaction, and I'm working with them as well during the transaction to make sure they have the right documents and everything is in sync and in rhythm for closing. That is such a great tool to be able to grow your acres down the road. We're getting way off topic.
No, that's awesome.
We're getting deep into a rabbit hole, but these are things to consider. Buy something that you know or you're confident that you're going to be able to part with. And when you do part with it, we're going to be able to sell it for more than what you originally bought it for.
That's awesome, man. Like, I never even thought, like, it would have never dawned on me that my trail camera photos on any one of the properties that I hunt.
And you probably like hearing that, huh?
I'm like, man, I get all kinds of photos, man. You know,
it's
funny. Cause like, as you're talking, it's like, I'm immediately thinking like this, you know, 60 acre piece that my dad picked up about a little more than a year ago now. There's a few neighbors around there. You know, one of them's a farmer, and those farms aren't really farmed any longer. I guess out in the Midwest, you guys have the CREP program or the CRP program or CRP. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with, you know, back here in PA, we have the CREP program, which is something slightly similar to the CRP deal. And I'm pretty sure all those, I'm positive because my dad spoke with them, I believe. The farmers' fields and the properties all in the CREP program, so they don't farm it at all anymore. And the farmers in that area are getting up in age, and their kids have all moved on and stuff like that. And I've just been kind of driving around every time I visit the property and kind of scoping, you know, what properties might be nice to pick off that are adjacent to my dad's property to kind of start to build out a larger tract of land. And so to your point, it's like the first one, if I were to pick up one of those, the first one doesn't have to be the dream one. You know, it just has to be the one that, you know, to cover off on all the things that you've all, you know, all the great, you know, tips you've already given, you know, which is, you know, look for the right neighborhood, you know, make sure, you know, to scope out the huntability, understand the wind that's going to be on it, what's your tillable versus your timber acreage, you know, your access that you had mentioned, you know, easement as well as stand access. It's like, and think about those things and just make sure those things are right no matter the size of the parcel, because you might be able to find the diamond in the rough that you can get into, you know. And I think that's the key thing is make sure it meets your goals and find that diamond in the rough, and then grow not only your investment, but your experiences and your memories.
If you really want to own a lot of ground someday or just a premium property, I've worked with a lot of landowners over the years, and the number one, the common denominator, is that they all wished they would have started sooner. Mm-hmm. And the majority of them already started early in their life, and they wish they would have started even sooner, because you're just that much more ahead of the game if you're really wanting to grow your ground and own that big hunting property someday. You're that much more ahead of the game just by the numbers and the way that land prices and land value have historically grown over generations. Don't be scared to step into the waters.
Right. Well, hey man, I want to be sensitive to your time. I appreciate you coming on and doing this. This was awesome. I learned a ton. I'm ready to kind of start, you know, re-looking at land and convincing my wife that we should, buy a hunting property or a place where she can go hang her hammock. We'll do it under the guise of that. But before I let you go, man, why don't you let everyone out there listening know where they can find out more about you and Whitetail Properties and so forth.
Yeah. Boy, thanks a ton for having me on. This was just a great discussion, Clint. I hope that everybody listening got something out of this. And to learn more about me, I've got personal, I'm on social media trying to, you know, share what's going on in my life on Instagram and Facebook and whatnot. My listings are online at whitetailproperties.com. And that's where you can find not only my listings, you got people listening from all over the country. We've got a lot of great listings there. That's the story on my end. And I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Everyone out there, if you have any questions, you know, and you're out in Benny, give you the EY on the end of that, out in Ben's area, neck of the woods.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, out in his neck of the woods, or even if not, you know, if you're looking for land, Ben's a great resource to talk to and touch base, and you couldn't find a nicer, more helpful guy. So I appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, no, and I guess just bouncing off of that, you know, with Huntera, I founded Huntera Maps and Huntera is it's a well-oiled machine. There's other people that are helping the maps flow out the door these days. So I'm still a huge part of that. I don't want anybody to think that, I'm no longer involved in Hunterra, but I'm certainly dialed into a full-time career now with Whitetail Properties. And because of Hunterra, I've established relationships with a lot of brokers throughout the country. If anybody does want to get connected to somebody in their territory, I'll certainly I'd love to help them. So yeah, anybody can reach out. But probably the best way to get a hold of me is on my Instagram handle. It would be at Benny Shine. You mentioned Benny. a lot of my buddies call me Benny. So at Benny Shine or search Ben Harshine and hit me up with a message, and I can point you in the right direction if you're looking for somewhere other than in Iowa.
Yeah, and if you're lucky enough to live in Iowa, then God bless you. Awesome,
man. Let's get in the truck and go hit these gravel roads together.
That's right, man. Awesome, man. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks, Clint.
All right, folks, that is a wrap for today's show. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to Ben for coming on the show and doing this series with us. It's been awesome to have him on. Fellow PA boy is now, you know, of course, living in Iowa, but it's always good to connect with someone from PA. Be sure to head over to Whitetail Properties and check out the land available in your area. And if you have any questions, drop Ben a line on Instagram or on Facebook. I'm sure he'd be happy to answer any questions you have or can point you in the direction of a land specialist that might be more fitting that's located in your area that you're looking to purchase land. And I'll post all the links to get a hold of Ben and follow him in the show notes of this podcast. If you haven't yet, please head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and subscribe to the podcast if you haven't yet. We'd be super appreciative if you'd be able to do those two things for us. And before we shut this thing down, we need to give a big shout out to our partners that continue to help us make this podcast possible. Wicked Tree Gear, Exodus Outdoor Gear, Trophy Ridge, Ozonics, Obsession Bows, Tecumseh Seed, Glacier Coolers, Ramcat Broadheads, and Trophy Taker Rests. And until next time, we'll see y'all. Text, broken letters, rationalize yourself in numbers, but I gotta get away from here. All right, gang, the new Truth merch is in stock at truthfromthestand.com and on YouTube below any of the Truth from the Stand videos. I've got some new hats, beanies, t-shirts, long sleeve t-shirts, and sweatshirts. There's even a new do hard shit hat for those of us who like to embrace microdosing adversity. So head to truthfromthestand.com and check out the new gear and use the code TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, and save yourself some cash on the new gear.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.